very special guest today. Her name is Catherine Herridge. She is a national correspondent for Fox News covering Homeland Security, the Department of Justice, and the intelligence community. Just wrote a book called The Next Wave on the hunt for Al-Qaeda's American recruits. Catherine, thanks so much for being with us.
Guys, thanks for having me.
Now, you're obviously, you report on Homeland Security, the intelligence community, Department of Justice, and we have Libya on fire right now. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I've been spent the last couple of days looking at sort of the remnants of Gaddafi's WMD programs. He gave up those programs in 2003, but it's taken several years to dismantle them, and I think there are sort of two main headlines. I spoke with the head of the House Intelligence Committee, Mike Rogers, who said that there are ongoing negotiations right now within the administration about the security, especially of what remains of Gaddafi's chemical weapons program. Congressman Rogers said to me that the Libyans had a sarin gas, they also had a fairly high-quality mustard gas, and that the U.S. government has not had any recent assurances about the security and how well those stockpiles are being maintained. The second element is that Gaddafi was a great hoarder of what I would call these shoulder surface-to-air missiles, and he started collecting them really after 1986 when we launched that raid on his compound in retaliation for the Berlin disco bombing. And you can imagine what 20,000 weapons, because that's the estimate of what he's got in Libya, would do if they got outside of that theater. And then finally, there's a concern from a former member of the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, the security of a place called Tajura. This is outside of Tripoli, and it's where they stockpiled the spent nuclear fuels. And what would happen if that got loose as well and was used, for example, in a radioactive dirty bomb?
Holy cow.
I really went on there. Forgive me. But this is really, I think, where the story is going to go next, whether this new government is able to secure these facilities.
Now, I'm reading reports that Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda fighters that were previously fighting in Iraq have come back to Libya to fight against Gaddafi. If that's the new government and they get those weapons, that could be catastrophic.
Well, it's catastrophic to say the least. Many people forget that eastern Libya was a great source of foreign fighters during the war with Iraq, so the fact that they're migrating back is not really much of a surprise. The question is, what is this new government going to look like? The rebels, are there sort of remnants of Al-Qaeda in North Africa within the rebels? There are reports that they may even be in the leadership, and what kind of posture are they going to take with the United States? Is it going to be very pro-Western and a secular government, or is there going to be this Islamist thread? I'm sure you've seen the reports as well about this draft Libyan constitution, which specifically talks about the implementation of Sharia law. And I don't think I need to explain to your listeners which direction that would take us in.
No, that's a terrifying idea. Let me ask you this. Are there U.S. boots on the ground now, and do you anticipate U.S. boots on the ground there?
Well, the official line from the Pentagon is that we don't have any military personnel on the ground, but I think that we would all be foolish to think that we don't have members of the CIA,
right?
Or the intelligence community on the ground there, and there's certainly special forces from, we believe, the British and the Italians and the French. And they really have, in some respects, a larger vested interest, national security interest, than the United States, because, of course, they're more heavily reliant on the oil that comes out of Libya.
Wow, thank you for that update on Libya. So now, you just recently wrote a book.
That's right.
Called The Next Wave. Tell us about your book and tell us why you wrote it and tell us some of the most interesting things that you found out while researching the book.
Well, thanks. Well, you know, the book began with a very simple question right after the Fort Hood shooting in November 2009. One of my colleagues here at Fox said, you know, Catherine, how is it that American citizens who are old enough to remember 9/11 and the collapse of the Twin Towers less than a decade later have turned their back on their own country and joined Al-Qaeda? And that question really gave me pause and began this 18-month investigation. And what I found is almost all of the threads led back to this American who's now hiding in Yemen, Anwar al-Awlaki. He's the first American on the CIA's killer capture list. And this book is not a book that I wrote to impress people inside the Beltway. I hope that's a real relief.
Without a doubt.
But what I do in the book is it reads very much like an action adventure. I take the reader along with me to Guantanamo Bay, to San Diego, to Virginia, to Fort Hood, and we connect the dots together. And what we find in our reporting, I think, will really shock and anger people. how this new generation of Americans, I call it Al-Qaeda 2.0, have taken up this hateful ideology. And I show through documentation, declassified records, as well as interviews, that there's been a case of homegrown terrorism here in the U.S. with a link to an international group every 2 to 3 weeks since January of 2009. And so, unfortunately, the numbers are there in a way that we could not have imagined a decade ago.
So what was your ultimate finding? Why are Americans turning on America?
Right. I call it the digital jihad. What you see with Americans like Anwar al-Awlaki and others is that they use all of our technology against us. So whether they're emailing or blogging or Skyping, they're kind of like the Facebook friend from hell, and they use all of this social networking to drive this ideology of hate. So what you have a decade after 9/11, I argue, is sort of a harder threat to fight because it's more diversified. Al-Qaeda is no longer like a Fortune 500 company with bin Laden as the CEO. You have the remnants of Al-Qaeda in Pakistan. You also have these franchise operations that I think one could argue are more active and more lethal than the old-style Al-Qaeda in Somalia and also in Yemen. And then you have this homegrown component, the lone wolf or the self-radicalized. So you're really looking at this threat over at least three fronts.
Do you you actually mention in your book that the U.S. government is actually aiding Al-Qaeda groups in recruiting. Tell me
well,
why that is.
I think one of the things that readers will find frustrating and angering is that I lay out a case in the book that in some context we're fighting this threat with one hand tied behind our back. And as an example, this cleric in Yemen, Anwar al-Awlaki, when he lived here in the United States, he had a very long criminal record. He was picked up for soliciting prostitutes at least three times and for loitering around a school in San Diego. And in the book, I go on this hunt for the mugshots or the booking photos for him from Virginia and also from Southern California. And you can get a mugshot of almost any Hollywood celebrity, right? Charlie Sheen,
right.
Lindsay Lohan. But you know what? You cannot get a mugshot of the American who's trying to kill us. And I just felt the picture would be a very powerful image because it would discredit him to potential followers, right? On the one hand, he presents himself as a holy man. On the other hand, he's got this very sort of dubious, shady past in the United States, yet you can't get that picture. And there are other elements in the book I think will frustrate people too, especially some of the scenes at Guantanamo Bay and how, unfortunately, I describe how we really are bending over backwards to accommodate the 9/11 suspects who really are still mocking us a decade after those attacks.
Because you're in a position to know, what would you expect as the next big Al-Qaeda plot?
That's a good question and a hard one to answer. I just think increasingly, and the data shows this, that you see more and more Americans in leadership positions within Al-Qaeda. That's not an accident. In 2006, the leadership saw that we were profiling, we being the U.S. government, profiling for young Muslim men from the Middle East. And they decided to change strategies and to go after American passport holders and also people with clean backgrounds from Western Europe. And it's no surprise to me when you look at this group in Yemen with the American Awlaki, they're really thinking out of the box. I mean, this was a group that was behind the underwear bomber.
Right.
And when that failed, they tried to circumvent the security with the cargo printer bombs. And then more recently, the intelligence showed they were looking for a surgeon to surgically implant devices into suicide attackers. And, you know, it brings back an idea that I'd like to leave you with today. Years ago, I met an old weapons inspector from Iraq. This was when Saddam Hussein was still there, and I write about it in the book. And he says, you know, Catherine, terrorism is like water. It takes the path of least resistance. You're dealing with a thinking enemy. You move one way, and it moves another. And that's really what I lay out in the book. The next chapter, this Al-Qaeda 2.0, we're going to see more Americans, and the threat is really more diversified than we probably ever expected.
If our listeners want to find your book, The Next Way, where would they do it?
Oh, thanks for asking.
Sure.
You could go to any of the major bookstores, or you could go to your favorite bookseller online like Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and just put in The Next Wave. And if my name's hard to remember, Catherine Herridge, you could put in The Next Wave and Al-Qaeda, and it will pop right up for you.
All right. Now, is there a link if somebody can go and find out more about you? Is there a direct website they could go to?
You know, I have spent my summer putting together a treehouse for my kids.
Good for you.
That was a trade-off for the book.
I feel
embarrassed to tell you I don't have my own website, but I can probably get a link sent to you if you want to post it on your website or something like that.
Yeah, that would be great.
Sure.
We'll do the link, and you can obviously go to the Fox News website as well, right?
Yeah. Yes, you can. You can find it. You can find articles related to it there, but you have to actually go to Amazon. Boy, I really need to do my own website, don't I?
That might not be a bad idea.
Done, so I feel like my time has freed up now. So.
Well, Catherine, thanks. I know you've got to run. Thank you so much for being with us. You're a great American. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're coming up on a hard break. Our guest was Catherine Herridge, national correspondent, Fox News expert, obviously in Libya. What great information she provided us. Great book. Check out The Next Wave on the Hunt for Al-Qaeda's American Recruits. We'll see you straight ahead.